right?
Yes.
Okay. Call the meeting to order. And our next public hearing, 2007-30, is subdivision 2007-30, Timothy Ramey.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, dividing 33.72 acres into 29 lots, located south of Route 472, 1,600 feet east of Route 62. And I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments related to the TAC review.
Mr. Chairman, the TAC review of November 21st, 2007 will be made a part of the record. On December 22nd of 2008, we received a letter of no objection from DLDOT for the entrance location. And on April 20th of this year, Mr. Murray submitted an exhibit booklet and a revised plan addressing the TAC comments. That's a part of the record, and each of you has received the booklet and the revised plan. That's all I have at this time.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Murray, you're up.
Good evening. Name is John Murray, a project manager with Kircher Engineering, here this evening representing Mr. Timothy Ramey, Ramey Investments LLC. For the application, as mentioned, the site to be known as Trinity Glen, or proposed as Trinity Glen. Trinity Glen is a 29-lot single-family home subdivision proposed on 33.72 acres for a proposed density of 0.86 acres. As was mentioned, revised preliminary subdivision plans were submitted to the county. Primary revisions were that the original subdivision plan that was submitted was for three-quarter acre lots with individual lot wells and individual lot septics. Since the time that the initial submission was made, their discussion had begun with Tidewater Utilities. And just recently, Tidewater Utilities was granted conditional use for a placement of a regional treatment facility on Trap Pond Road. With that, there's a force main, which will be owned and operated by Tidewater, which is going to pass by the site, providing central sewer. So the original subdivision plan, which was for standard three-quarter acre lots with septic systems, now has been made to be 20,000 square foot lots, which will be serviced by Tidewater for the sewer. There will still be individual lot wells. If you look in the packet that was prepared and provided to you in Appendix 5, you'll see that Tidewater Utilities did provide an ability to serve letter for that sewer. And in that same section, you'll also find the mentioned letter of no objection from the Delaware Department of Transportation. Other improvements that we've made to the subdivision plan since that time is we have provided the 30-foot forested agricultural buffers around the property, with the exception of placing a buffer adjacent to the existing residential lots along the county road. We have also provided 50-foot buffers around the delineated wetlands on the site. If you look at your plan, you can see on the western side of the property adjacent to the Baker lands, and on the western side of the property adjacent to the Whaley lands, there are two agricultural ditches for draining the property. Both of those ditches were delineated as wetland areas. You can also see adjacent to lot 25, there's an additional wetland area on the property, which drains into that agricultural ditch that's commonly shared with the Whaley lands. We are also providing that buffer from that location. You'll see on the plan that 4.75 acres have been set aside for the preservation of the wetlands and the buffers. There's also 9.23 acres that's been set aside by the developer for a possible future phase of this community, if the market were to dictate, and obviously if the commission were to act favorably upon this application. Homes within the development, as governed by the provided covenants and restrictions in the packet, are 1,000 square foot minimum living areas for the homes. There's also an estimated cap or maximum price on land home packages within this community of $150,000. As was previously mentioned this evening, There's other developments that they've had issues with selling units. In this particular area, the developer had actually done minor subdivisions and created lots along the property frontage. And if you visit the site, you could see similar construction to what's proposed within the community. And those lots and those lot home packages sold actually very quickly. There's been a lot said about affordability of land home packages in the area and what the median income is for, say, a couple who might be working for the state or working for the county. Based on the estimates, a couple who would both be working for either the state or the county would be able to afford a home within this community and with central sewer at that. As part of the letter of no objection, as granted by the Delaware Department of Transportation, you can see on the plan, although somewhat vaguely, that along the property frontage, as you extend the property lines to Phillips Hill Road, DelDOT is requiring that we provide 11-foot travel lanes and 5-foot wide shoulders, as was mentioned in another application previously this evening. We are also providing 15-foot wide easement along the property frontage for a multi-use path. And if you notice, based on the aerial overlay that was given within your packet, we are located within several other developments in the area that are either already established or recently given preliminary subdivision approval. Those being North Trap Haven, Cypress at Trussum Pond, the Woods at Trap Pond, and Barron's Place. Stormwater management for the site, we actually envision not having stormwater management ponds because the site now is actively being farmed and tilled for agricultural purposes. We would envision that the runoff and preliminary numbers we've run is that the runoff is high enough from the pre-developed site that with the post-development site and based on how Denerec looks at land cover conditions, we would actually be able to provide green technologies, the bioswales were mentioned earlier, biofiltration areas and filter strips to provide our water quality for our site runoff before it enters those drainage features I previously mentioned. That's the nature of our application. And I won't, as was kind of mentioned by Shane before we started, there's items in the booklet. We have our plan considerations for 99-9C in there. If you'd like me to read through those, I can.
I believe they're already on the record.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I will mention, I'm sorry, one extra thing is we did do, if the commission were to act upon this application favorably, and if we were able to submit applications and those were acted upon favorably for future phases of this community, the estimated build out with the 20,000 square foot lots is 41 units. And with a 33.72 acres, that works out to 1.22 units per acre. I thought I'd throw that out there in case there may be question.
All right, sir. Well, we appreciate your presentation. We'll see if anyone has any questions. And we'll start with Mr. Gordy.
So you're saying your remaining lands near the federal wetlands, 4.40 acres. You got some remaining lands of 4.83 acres. Do you want to leave that open for possible redevelopment later on?
Possible. If the market allows, and obviously if we make it past this stage of this application, and if conditions permit and we're able to make a major subdivision application for a future phase down the road, then yes, it would be the intention of the developer to submit an additional plan for additional phase.
The only question I have, only concern I'd have then, if you were to develop all this again, extra land here, is you're not going to have hardly any open space.
Well, there would be open space that would be planned for the remainder of the property. We don't have, obviously, with the nature of what we have here, the remaining lands is our open space now. Obviously, if we do a future phase, there has to be consideration for what that additional density is going to do with the development. Obviously, what our open space requirements are going to be as dictated by the county, and we're going to have to supply those open spaces.
Okay. Now, be proposing sidewalks?
Because of the price point, we're looking to keep costs down in the development, so we're asking for leniency somewhat on those sidewalks. There will be street lighting within the development. There will be a bus stop. But we do understand that the commission on various applications has asked for sidewalk, but we are asking for some leniency there.
He means no.
Okay, well, tell me.
For this plan, they are not.
Okay, I understand.
They are not.
We always look at it as a safety aspect.
I understand.
As far as walking. You don't have any amenities. You know, where's people gonna, how are people gonna walk and walk in safety?
Well, if sidewalks would be required, because these are going to be swales for our roadside drainage, obviously those sidewalks are going to be placed within cross-access easements across the frontage of the lots, so that the sidewalk would be along each property or within each property within that easement and not actually along the roadside, which is something that we've commonly done with other applications where sidewalk has been required and open drainage swales are proposed for the roadside drainage.
On one side or both sides?
We'd like to ask for it to be on one side, or as the commission would see fit.
Okay. I see you got a place, you got a bus stop easement, if needed.
Yes. But we would imagine that the bus stop would be placed there, regardless has been required by the commission.
So you are anticipating street lighting?
Yes.
And 30-foot buffer around the surrounding?
Correct. You'll actually see on the plan, especially adjacent to the wetland areas that were described that are along the drainage ditch, that the 30-foot buffer actually falls within that 50-foot buffer for the wetlands. So you're going to have the 30-foot forested buffer, and that's also going to be within that 50-foot buffer from the delineated wetland line.
That's all the questions I have.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton.
Go again with the you got remaining lands that are open space, and then you're going to hopefully build into them. Do you then calculate the open space in the phase two, or would you take in account the whole project and say, we're going to dedicate this open space to the whole project?
Well, we would basically, once additional phases are done, it's going to be a community. It would be a community as a whole. So we're going to have to do our open space requirement for the community as a whole. It's not going to be partitioned so that you have three independent, you know, if that were so happen, three independent communities. It's all going to be one community. Mm-hmm. So our open space calculation is going to wind up being for the community as a total.
Okay, so right now it would just count, this would be a community space.
Yes, it's just going to be remaining undeveloped lands.
And yes. As you brought the other phases in, the number of houses would then have to be reduced by the amount of open space that the entire...
Right, whatever our open space requirement be, we'd have to plan for that accordingly with any future units.
Well, it's also not as simple as that necessarily, because, I mean, you'd have to have another public hearing, but you'd have to go, if you've sold lots, you'd have to go get... consent, 51% of the property owners.
Right, and our client has been made aware of that.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. I mean, then, you know, they would have to comply with, you know, the code and everything else, of course.
Who would be safer on their part if they showed the area that they think they might set aside?
Yeah.
As part of the project now, and then it's done.
Because they've got an irregular shaped... federal 404 wetlands area, then they put a buffer around it. They could put the area of the open space around that and set aside some kind of future feature within that area.
Because that spot's going to be hard to develop.
It is.
You're talking about to the north of the delineated wetlands area? The wetlands creates a very awkward shape.
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about.
Yes, and especially once you add the buffers to it, it does create an awkward shape. And it will definitely limit what is able to be done in that area.
Who maintains the current residual land until future? Would that be just part of the homeowners association and it'd be maintained?
Well, the residual land is actually going to be its own separate parcel. If you look at the way that the lot lines are done, and the way the lot lines are done, it's remaining. So in
why are you doing it this way? Because this doesn't make any sense. You've got, you know, because residual lands are residual lands. They're not part of the subdivision. That's not open space for this subdivision. It might be literally open space, but it's not part of this subdivision. So it would seem to me that if
the development doesn't have the open space.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. Technically, it doesn't. I mean, there's an open space next to it that is owned by the same person, but it's been carved out and called residual lands. It's not part of the subdivision. Yeah. And that's what I think Vince was getting at, is that when you come back, I mean, it's either it's in or it's out, and if it's in, you just might as well go ahead and finish, you know, delineating the lots and the open space and get it all done.
If you look in the book,
I'm concerned that you're creating a problem for yourselves later on, too, because, you know, you come back and try to do something with that, the rules may be such that you can't do it anymore.
Well, we actually have run scenarios for layouts for a potential future build out.
Okay. What is? Why aren't we seeing all that at one time? What's the problem with doing it all at once?
Well, one of the issues that, I mean, obviously, when the original application was made, we're about 2 years from the time that the original application was made.
Yeah.
And when the original application was made, Tidewater had not already been in the process of doing the regional facility.
Okay.
Okay. So, by the time they have their conditional approval to be able to have the regional facility, we're looking, if there's replanning, there's a resubmission package, you know, withdrawing of the application, submitting a new application, another 2 years.
Yeah.
With this option, you know, we're still conforming to the county's subdivision and zoning code. We're still at our 20,000 square foot.
Okay.
And so that's really, I mean, it's a matter of timing. I mean,
was originally like wastewater treatment areas, I guess. Is that where disposal fields?
We're going to have septic. I mean,
okay,
septic
that's the answer, we're looking for.
That's right. You said that right up front.
Yeah.
There's two drawings in the book.
Yeah, if you actually look at the booklet, you can see the original plan that was submitted, and then you can see this plan.
Because of the central floor.
Right. So what you're doing is you just since that area is now not going to be used that way, and you've just designated it as residual land.
Well, quite frankly, if we submit an additional application with a higher density, we have to withdraw application. We have to make a new application.
Well, they couldn't come in with 40-some lots when they only applied for 29 or whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah, 29.
Okay. All right.
Trying to stick to their 29 and then hope they could come in with a revision to get the others, but that would require public hearing.
Okay.
All my questions have been answered.
There you go. Now you know. Okay, very good. Mr. Lank, you have anything else? Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
Just my only observation, it sounds like that you'd have had another public hearing now, or you're going to have another public hearing sometime in the future.
Potentially. I mean, obviously, it depends on how the commission acts upon this application.
And you would think, as often as we see this stuff, that would occur to us. But the first thing I thought of is, why in the world aren't you doing this thing? But you're right. You're absolutely right.
Well, from what I understand with Tidewater Utilities, their conditional use approval for that treatment facility just came, I believe, this past February.
Looking at the book, it didn't click right away, but I got you. All right. Okay. Take a seat. See if anybody has an interest in your application. Is there anybody here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision number 2007-30, Timothy Ramey? Yes, ma'am. You've only been here 4 hours.
I've never been here this long. My name is Debbie Brittingham, and I'm representing Mr. Ramey. I live in Laurel, Delaware.
Okay.
He's owned this property now for 3 years.
Okay.
And in working with him as far as selling the houses and what the market dictates, I would like you gentlemen to be very conservative as far as the pricing. Our workforce here in Sussex County, I have seen since the market has declined, there is a market for our local workforce for $150 and under.
Right.
And what size houses are we talking about?
Well, the minimum square footage is 1,000 square feet, okay. But we anticipate anywhere from the 1,000 to 1,500 right. max.
Right. Does that include decks?
Living space, not including decks.
With or without a deck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't resist, sorry.
How about living space?
Living space, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so I know there was some talk of sidewalk, and I know, you know, I'm not here to present an argument for that, but I know with cost that the sidewalk could be a little bit more pricey for the house.
Okay.
Is all.
All right.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak in favor? I got another question for you, Mr. Murray. So speaking of sidewalks and so on, have you thought about any other of the other solutions for a walk path of some kind that might be less expensive? I mean, like a mulch path or something?
Well,
Mr. Gordy raises a good point. It's a safety issue.
Right.
Because there's just no place for people to walk, so they end up walking in the street.
Well, if you look at the county engineering department and what their newer standards dictate for roadways, now, in theory, because of when this application was made, we fall under the old standards.
I understand.
But if we do the sidewalks, there's basically two ways to do it. If you're going to have curb and gutter, which this subdivision does not propose, then, you know, typically you have your curbing, you have your sidewalk right behind it, or a 3-foot grass strip,
right.
And your curbing, because the curb acts as a brake for the water coming across the road.
Right.
If you're putting a sidewalk in with open swales, the thought is that it's more dangerous if you just say to extend the pavement,
yeah.
to delineate a walking path, because then whatever runoff is coming off of that road, which quite frankly is most of the, you know, dirty water that's coming through the development that's being treated, then in icy conditions, winter months, if that someone likes to regularly take walks to the neighborhood, that freezes, you open yourself up to problems. Someone slips and falls and hurts himself because the water has no break like it does with curb. Now, the new standards the county engineering department has actually allows for the sidewalk scenario that what I'm discussing, which is where you have the 10-foot easement within the front of the lot. And then that's where you actually place your sidewalk.
Right. Well,
and their standards will permit the hot mix or a paved walkway rather than concrete.
Well, I was trying to think of a less expensive alternative, because I understand how you're trying to do this and appreciate it. I think people need, you know, I think we need that product, and, you know, for the average, you know, working people that, you know, live here and do all the work. So, I mean, but I'm just trying to think of a less expensive alternative than concrete or asphalt.
If you go from concrete to asphalt, then you can look at different things like are done in parks. You talk about a delineated gravel, mulch. Obviously, with those type things, the only problems is they're not, it becomes a maintenance issue.
Right. So, but you
or if you have someone who's...
You would be receptive to doing the last... county engineering is doing now? Are you receptive to that, or are you not receptive to it?
Well, that is basically what I'm saying, is that is the format that they've approved. That's how they've approved doing walkways in situations where you have open roadside swales as your drainage in lieu of curb and gutter. That's what they've accepted.
Are you willing to do that?
Well, obviously, the client, with the price point that they're looking into the development, are asking for leniency on basically not doing the sidewalks. If the commission were to make it a condition of approval, then we obviously have to provide it. We would ask for them to be placed on one side of the roadways, which actually has been something that the commission has proved with previous applications.
I would be all right with that.
Yeah,
I'm on one side for sure, but I'm trying to come up with something that's less expensive for you to do.
Well, the problem is, if you start talking about pedestrian walkways, then you're also starting to look at ADA requirements, and you might run into an issue, you know, with ADA accessibility if you start getting into some sort of more natural, you know, walking path, gravel, mulch, things like that. You might have problems if someone's in a wheelchair. You might run into a problem.
All right. Well, we'll take that under advisement. Is there anyone here else who should speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2007-30? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to stay with us until Friday morning to see if we make a decision, or you may just wish to call the office.
That's it.